Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Ohio is often called the heart of it all, with rustic images of farmland being used to promote the state and present a picturesque rural landscape. But can this image remain a reality with the population and business growth expected to come to Central Ohio? Urban sprawl often expands into suburban sprawl, which eventually leads to damage to landscapes and natural habitats. We're looking at conservation efforts underway to maintain the rural character of Central Ohio this hour. And joining us now is Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. Welcome to All Sides, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
So the Philander Chase Conservancy has a mission to protect the beauty of farmlands, woodlands, waters, and open spaces. Tell us how the group got started.
So Kenyon College is a small liberal arts college in Gambier, Ohio. We're about an hour to the northeast of the Columbus area. And the college's identity is very much set in the rural setting in which it exists. And we actually, a little over 25 years ago, we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. A little over 25 years ago, we were experiencing then some development pressure pushing its way toward the college. At that time, actually, it was the very real possibility of a recreational vehicle park, campground, at the base of the hill along the Kokosing River, which runs right next to the college's campus. So the college reacted at that point in time, was able to acquire that property. That's the land where the Brown Family Environmental Center, the college's environmental center, now sits. But we realized we needed to be proactive and not reactive, and we needed to work against that development pressure to protect our sense of place.
So is Kenyon buying land surrounding it to protect the look and the rural feel, or is it doing partnerships?
A little of both. So what we did 25 years ago was we created a land trust, the Philander Chase Conservancy. We are the only college or university in the country to establish our own land trust. Many schools work with existing land trusts, but we were very intentional in creating our own. We focus on a 5-mile radius around the college and the Gambier area. And we work to sometimes acquire land, but that's not our preferred approach. We actually prefer to work with landowners to place either a conservation easement or an agricultural easement on their land.
So when you a land trust, that just mean, is it like, does that word mean a partnership or mean like a deal? I guess define trust.
So when we are working with a landowner, they are granting us an easement on their land. They still own the land, so they maintain their ownership rights. Conservation easement or an agricultural easement is a voluntary legal agreement that stays on that land in perpetuity. And it has certain restrictions associated with it. There are also certain reserved rights for the landowner affiliated with that easement document. But the number one restriction is no subdivision. So if you grant an agricultural easement on a 100-acre farm, for example, the landowner maintains their ownership, but when they sell that property, it has to be sold as a 100-acre farm. It can't be subdivided. It can't be turned into 5-acre housing lots.
Now, what made Kenyon College want to commit to this? I mean, you know, you could probably make some money off that land, so why?
As I said, we are our identity, the college's identity, is that rural setting. And so we wanted to make sure we were protecting that setting. So making sure that view sheds as you approach the college, as you stand on top of the hill, as we call it, and you look across the rural landscape, what you see is trees, farm fields, green. And we wanted to keep that open space, that agricultural feel, that rural setting.
And I guess we should back up to the name, Philander Chase Conservancy. Can you tell us about the name?
Sure. Bishop Philander Chase was actually the individual who established Kenyon College a little over 200 years ago. We celebrated our bicentennial last year in 2024. The college was originally established in Worthington, but the good bishop made the decision to move away from the vices of the big city.
And I see.
As the story goes, he stood atop that hillside in Knox County and said, "This will do." And that is where he moved, I think 2 years after it was established, to Gambier.
Now, this kind of, the way you're talking about it, kind of reminds me of like the land grant mission that public colleges and universities have, you know, this idea of teaching and researching in the public interest. But Kenyon is private. So is this kind of like a different type of way of land grant mission?
Very much so. So the work that we do, when you ask a landowner to grant one of these easements to the conservancy, they are giving up the development rights to that property. So there's a value associated with that. The landowner has the opportunity to donate that easement. They can sell it to the conservancy at a bargain sale price, or they can ask us to pay the full appraised value of that easement. We do sometimes have opportunities for funding through, for example, the Ohio Department of Agriculture has a farmland preservation program that has, we use Clean Ohio funds to purchase agricultural easements, protecting farmland in perpetuity. But for the most part, the work that we do is dependent on the generosity of our donors.
Mm. Now, have you faced some challenges? You know, there's a lot of development happening in Ohio. Lots of companies coming here looking for land, looking for big pieces of land, and they're bringing a lot of money with them. So have you had any pushback?
There's a lot to that question. Yeah. Knox County is not part of the Columbus Metropolitan Statistical Area, but we are adjacent. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely experiencing growth in our area, and we are expected to continue to see growth. We've grown from 2000 to 2020, we grew about 15% in our population, and we're expected in the next 25 years to grow another 9%. Mm-hmm. So we are just a short 20-minute drive from the development boom that's happening in the New Albany area south of Johnstown. Mm-hmm. And so that development pressure is definitely pushing northeast our direction. So that growth is going to happen. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. We can't fight it. But I think the opportunity is for us to work with the planners in Knox County to determine where smart growth should take place, and where are the areas of the county that we want to protect. But it has definitely, that development growth has also driven an increase in land values, which also makes our work more challenging.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about efforts to maintain the rural character of parts of Central Ohio with Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. So that idea of maintaining rural character, I said in the introduction, you know, often whenever you see photos or whenever you see depictions of Ohio, they show, you know, vast swaths of farmland and it looking very beautiful with a picturesque barn on it. Is that what you envision for your little part of Knox County?
We definitely have plenty of beautiful farm pictures that we share. And we actually are working currently. We have been working with the Knox County Area Development Foundation and the planning folks in the county to work on a new 2025 comprehensive plan for the county. And in that process, a lot of information was gathered from our residents and our stakeholders, our landowners, and we were very pleased to see that our residents of Knox County agree with us that there is much to protect in Knox County in terms of the land and the rural feel and the agricultural space. So that was very validating to hear that our residents also, that is why they live in Knox County. That's why they choose to live there.
Yeah. So they're not interested in the subdivisions, even if it might bring them a little more tax money.
I think, as I said, the growth is going to happen. Yeah. So it's a matter of where should that growth be? And we need to be wise about where the growth occurs. And so it needs to be adjacent to existing municipalities. Mm-hmm. It needs to be close to water, sewer, other utilities, mm-hmm. And not necessarily out in the middle of what used to be a 200-acre farm.
Right. So let's talk more about the protecting of the land and the preserving of natural habitats, because it's not just farmland. I mean, there's other things to it. So tell me about some of your work on preserving the land.
So we have a list of criteria that we use anytime we are about to take on a land conservation project. Because of our mission and specifically our relationship to Kenyon, one of our major criteria is, is it within the viewshed of Pierce Tower, which is a high point on the college's campus. But we also look at other things like, as I mentioned, the Cocosing River runs right along our campus. And so we definitely want to protect that riparian corridor and the species and the habitats associated with the Cocosing River, which is a designated state scenic river. Mm-hmm. And we have to date protected over 10 miles of the banks of the Cocosing River.
Okay. And I read you have protected 6,000 acres, right? And then dozens of farms and properties. So what does that mean when it says and properties?
So we have easements. So the easements that I mentioned that landowners have granted where they still own their property, but we have this conservation easement or agricultural easement that's been granted to the Conservancy. We have 50 of those types of easements. 21 of those are agricultural and 29 are conservation easements. And then we have an additional 10 properties that the Conservancy owns outright.
Okay. Are there other, I think you mentioned you're the first one. Are there other conservancies like this that work to preserve rural land?
We are very fortunate in Knox County to have a sister land trust, the Owl Creek Conservancy. Mm-hmm. And while I mentioned we focus on the 5-mile radius around Kenyon and Gambier, the Owl Creek Conservancy is looking at conserving land in the rest of Knox County. And they were actually established also 25 years ago. So we are jointly celebrating our 25th anniversaries this year. And together, we have protected approximately 12,000 acres. And they have also worked with about 50 farms and landowners as well.
So 25 years ago, someone must have been building
someone
a building
was thinking
that,
ahead.
Nobody liked. And they all, So what if Kenyon itself, the college, wants to expand and grow? What if Kenyon wants to build a new building? Is there room for that too?
There is room for that. So all of the land that Kenyon owns is certainly not protected with a conservation easement. So those development restrictions only exist on the land that's actually protected by a conservation easement.
Okay. So if buildings get old and if Kenyon decides that they want to tear something down and rebuild, that's not a protected thing, right?
If it's not covered by a conservation easement, correct.
Okay. And I guess you're probably thinking that there's room to grow. You know, if Kenyon wanted to build a new building and expand a little bit, there's probably places for that too, you know, aside from the area that has been conserved. Yeah.
I won't say that it wouldn't be a challenge. Gambier is a small little village, but there is definitely unprotected space that could be used for expansion.
And how does someone get involved in your organization? Do you have like a lot of people who live in the Gambier area, Knox County, who want to just, be a part of it?
There are lots of ways to be involved. We, of course, as I mentioned, our work is funded by our generous donors. Mm-hmm. So that is always one way that folks can be involved in supporting our mission. Landowners who are interested in protecting their property can certainly reach out to us about the possibility of an agricultural easement or a conservation easement. And then we also have lots of educational opportunities and volunteer opportunities as well.
Now, I have to imagine that people who live in Gambier or live in Knox County are, you know, a part of this. But do you have alumni who just remember loving the way Kenyon College looked and they helped too?
Yes. And I would say, actually, as I mentioned, the two land trusts, I would say Kenyon College is much more a part of the mindset of our alumni. Parents who've had children who've attended Kenyon College, I have heard an admissions student tour guide say Kenyon wouldn't be Kenyon anywhere else. And so it's really important that we protect that setting.
You're listening to Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College, and she's going to stay with us. And then coming up, we're going to talk with a landowner who is donating land to help preserve the rural character of this area of Knox County. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Located at Kenyon College, the Philander Chase Conservancy focuses on conserving open spaces and natural habitats within a five-mile radius of the school. The view at Kenyon College students see from the highest point on campus is the same view students saw 60 years ago and will be the same view that their future grandchildren will see. We're talking about preserving Ohio's rural character this hour. And joining us now is Tim Norris, an Ohio master farmer and owner of Norris Grain Farms. Tim plans to donate land to the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. Welcome to All Sides, Tim.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. And also still with us is Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. Thanks again for staying with us, Amy.
Absolutely.
So, Tim, tell us about Norris Grain Farm. I was looking on Facebook. I saw some beautiful pictures of your farm. What's the history of it?
Well, the history is we have a couple unique features. One is we have a barn that was built in 1901, and we were trying to figure out what to do with that, and we decided it wouldn't really work for our farm for what we're doing with grain farming, so we ended up restoring it and kind of use it as a place for all our families to get together and gather. So that's kind of a unique feature. Another thing is our house is 200 years old, and it has some ties to Kenyon because the story that I've heard, I can't prove it, but the story that I've heard is the stonemasons that built Old Kenyon built our house and lived in it. So there were like three or four stone houses around the area that were that way. My aunt bought the farm in 1943, and the house was being used as a corn crib. So
that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they had put an elevator in one of the upstairs windows and were just filling it with corn and using it to store corn.
Why not?
Yeah. So she turned around and restored that. We've done just about every room since. But anyway, so it's been in our family since 1943. I got it. My wife and I got it in 1989.
Okay. And what are your main crops?
My main crops are corn, soybeans, and wheat. But 3 or 4 years ago, we decided to try some sunflowers. And we couldn't believe how many people would stop and get their pictures taken with sunflowers. So we ended up the next year opening it up to the public and creating some paths to walk through. And we get about 1,000 people a year come through and walk the paths and enjoy the farm. And you can see that tower from our field that you were talking about earlier from Old Kenyon.
Yeah, great place to take pictures. I saw a few pictures of the sunflower crop that you have. Yeah. How many acres is your farm?
So our farm, we just have around 70 acres is what we own. Mm-hmm. But we actually farm 1,150 acres of our own crops. Mm-hmm. And then we do some work for neighbors. So our total is 1,800 acres that we plant, harvest, and take care of.
So tell me about this idea of donating some of your land, or maybe it's all your land, I'm not sure, donating your land to the Philander Chase Conservancy. How did this come about?
Well, the reason it came about, so we actually did this. We were the first farm that had an easement placed on it through Philander Chase, and I think it's close to 20-some years now.
Yep.
And I guess the thought process that my wife and I had, we had went through kind of a rough time. I graduated high school and decided to farm right out of high school. I knew everything that I thought you needed to know to farm. And the truth be told, I knew how to do the farming. I knew the mechanics of it, but I didn't know the agronomics of it. And
agronomics. I like that word.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
So there were a lot of things that I kind of learned to do better later, but it took going through this experience to learn those. One of the things that happened in the late 90s, Knox County had 18% population growth between 1992 and 2002. And of that, I lost about 700 acres that I was farming, two different things. One was a 350-acre chunk of land that I had next to Mount Vernon, and it was owned by three different property owners, but it all got sold within 3 years. And today, there's a church, a hospital, a jail, a park, a bank, a restaurant, two hotels, a movie theater, a realtor, several doctors, offices, a Goodwill nursing home, heating and cooling store, 37 apartment buildings, 44 condos, and 105 houses.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of stuff.
So I looked at that and it's like, you know, there's 350 acres that I've lost that I was farming. Mm-hmm. And we had another 105-acre parcel that got sold and split off into lots, and there were 11 houses on that. Mm. And I got looking at the difference between 11 houses and all that stuff that I talked about on the 350 acres. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've got to protect our land. And mm-hmm. if we do have development, which we're going to have, it really seemed important to me that we develop it in a way where we utilize the land the most beneficial way possible. So that's kind of what got us towards looking at doing the ag easement. We also, like I said, you know, we had lost all this farmland. I didn't really know what we were going to do because farming was.
And when you say you lost it, you didn't own it, but you kind of you rented it to use for farmland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was predominantly most of the land that we had. So we mm-hmm. decided to sell the farm equipment and get out of farming. And I got a job in town. And we were approached by a gravel company that wanted to buy our farm for purposes of mining. And it was tempting. It was a lot of money. And my wife and I just could not do that. We did mm-hmm. not want to drive by that farm someday. We didn't want our grandkids to, that hopefully we'll have someday, go by the farm and see it as a lake. That just mm-hmm. isn't the legacy that we wanted to have. And I heard about a meeting that they were having at Kenyon about this new conservancy, the Philander Chase Conservancy. And I went up and was listening to, you know, the statistics, and it's like, I think our farm would be a good fit. Mm. And so we applied, and we ended up being accepted. And so today the farm is preserved. It'll always be a farm. One parcel is in an ag easement. The other parcel is in a conservation easement. But it just makes me feel good that my farm, several of the farms around me are all conserved either through a conservation easement or an ag easement.
Yeah. And Amy, from the Philander Chase Conservancy, Amy, tell us what it means for you to have, you know, someone who could make some money off his land decide to go this route with your organization.
Yeah. And I do, just to clarify, Tim and his wife still own the land, so they mm-hmm. didn't donate the land to the conservancy,
right.
but they granted us these easements, an agricultural easement and a conservation easement. So that's huge. They're directly supporting our mission, the mission of our organization. We are now partners, mm-hmm. and we're lifelong partners, because this is not just a decision for Tim and his wife and his family. It's a decision for the people who buy the property next. So we will always, in perpetuity, we will work with the folks who own that property to make sure that the terms of the easements are upheld, and that the conservation values and the agricultural values of that property are also maintained.
So what does it mean when it's two parts? Part of it will stay a farm, and what's the other part?
The conservation easement. So Tim's beautiful farm is all entirely bordered on the north by the Kokosing River, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And so the conservation easement is immediately adjacent to the river. It can be farmed. The conservation easement allows for that. As I mentioned earlier, there are reserved rights for the landowner, and farming is one of those reserved rights. It could also restore to a natural setting. So if someone decided they did not want to farm the parcel that's protected by a conservation mm-hmm. easement, they wouldn't have to. Now, the rest of the farm is an agricultural easement, and that is co-held by the Philander Chase Conservancy and the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. The purpose is to preserve farmland, and so there is a requirement that parcel be farmed in perpetuity. So it has to remain in continuous agricultural use.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about preserving the rural character of Central Ohio this hour. With us is Tim Norris, an Ohio master farmer and owner of the Norris Grain Farms, and they are donating their land to the Philander Chase Conservancy. And also with us is Amy Hendrickson, executive director of Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. And I guess, is donate the right word, or it's a partnership? That's what I didn't mean to say donate. It just came out.
So actually, yes, we did receive money for that. Mm-hmm. So it really isn't a donation. We wanted to make sure we clarified that.
I know. I realized that as I said the word donate. I'm like, that's the wrong word.
He's a grantor, an easement grantor.
Okay, got it. So Tim, what does it mean to you whenever I talk about preserving the rural character of Central Ohio? You know, you listed off all those things that got built on this piece of land that you used to see as farmland, right? What do you feel whenever you just are driving around Central Ohio and you think of about, like, you know, it looking rural versus development? What's in your heart there?
I always go back to the commercials on TV years ago where you see the Indian with a tear in his eye when he sees the trash along the road. And for some reason, when I see a piece of farmland, especially a good productive piece of farmland, that's not farmland anymore, it just kind of makes you sad. And I think the reason that it makes me sad is I realize, as a farmer, I realize the importance and the value of having farmland and what the country needs to do to protect that farmland. And I truly feel that a country that can't feed itself can be held hostage to the rest of the world. And I feel it's extremely important that we don't take those good prime pieces of farmland and develop them. I think we need to keep that to make sure that everybody can be fed in our country and throughout the world.
Now, you said you do corn, soybeans, and wheat are your main crops,
yes,
besides the sunflowers, right? Yeah. Who do you sell your crops to?
We sell a lot of the crops to the local co-op, and then we sell some to the ethanol plant in Coshocton. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I hear people say about, you know, well, ethanol is, you know, you're using food for fuel. And I really think it should be called food and fuel, because that's what you're really getting out of it. You're taking the corn down and you're getting the oils out of it. And then you have a feedstock that goes back and gets sold to the local farmers to feed. So it's kind of neat how our some of our crops can get used for both food and then after, or fuel. And then after it's used for the fuel, it comes back to the animals to eat, to feed them, you know, for beef and pork and chicken. So,
do you have any animals on your property too? Or
I
no?
do not. Okay. I grew up with livestock, and I decided that was something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, my grandfather was a beef cattle farmer, and I know that it is very challenging, and you need help. Do you have an idea of having your farm? I mean, you're going to keep farming on the farm, and then do you have like a retirement plan? Are you hoping that it's just, you? I mean, obviously, you're hoping it stays a farm if you went into this partnership with the Flanders Chase Conservancy. So,
yes, I definitely want to see it stay on a farm, and it will, because that's what it has to stay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do have a retirement plan. My wife would like to know exactly when that is.
I'm not going to hold you to it. I was just curious about, you know, the future.
But I don't see myself. I don't want to be like my father, who farmed till he was 80. 85 and then couldn't do it anymore. And then the next 10 years he had nothing, no hobbies to do. So we've kind of made the decision to travel as much as we can. And we would like to basically retire probably by 65 or 68 at the latest.
So are you hoping to sell the farm to a farmer? Like,
no, I don't see letting the farm out of my possession for quite a while. But I would love to see somebody that wants to farm, because neither one of my sons really want to take over the farm as a farm. So I would love to find somebody that wants to farm and could step into that role and buy it, the farm part, over time, not the land, but
right.
the business.
Right. And Amy, whenever you are working with, I mean, I'm sure that the Norris Grain Farm is not the only farm that you've been working with around the 5 mile radius around Kenyon. So tell me about, do you approach the farmers? Do they approach you? Tim said he went to a meeting and found out about it, right?
Right. That was in the early days when we were trying to build awareness about the conservancy and what our mission was. And you know, trying, as we've talked about here, it's very complicated in terms of the ways that you can go about protecting your property. So, yes, we have, as I mentioned earlier, 50 different properties that are protected through an easement. And so that's a lot of partnerships. In the early days, we were talking to folks and encouraging them to consider this as an option. Now, it tends to be that we have folks coming to us and asking us for their help in protecting their property. The challenge for us is we have limited resources. So, you know, we only have so many funds that are available to purchase conservation easements. And the Clean Ohio funds that we receive from the state are limited as well. So we definitely can't work with everyone, but we would love to be able to. But that's where those criteria come in that I mentioned, where we assess every project based on those conservation criteria. And that's how we prioritize projects. I think the other thing to mention is that I've mentioned the word perpetuity.
Yeah.
So when we're committing to receiving an easement, being granted an easement, that's a forever relationship. And so we have an obligation as an accredited land trust. We were we were accredited in 2022. We have to go out at least once a year, monitor that property, make sure that the terms of the easement are being upheld.
Make sure the farm is still a farm.
Make sure the farm is being farmed. Make sure the woods haven't been clear cut. Make sure if there's a required buffer between the Kokosing River and farming activity, that that's being upheld. And when we're working with the original grantors, there's a little more of an investment for Tim and his family. They're the ones who granted the easement. But once you get to 25 years, you're starting to work with more and more successor landowners, not the folks who originally granted that easement. And so that's when you start to run into potential issues where they might not be either as invested, or they might not understand the terms of that conservation easement or agricultural easement.
Have you had to tell someone, like, you can't do that? No, you're knocking on wood.
Knock on wood. Okay. We have not had a violation at this point, but it's something that we, for any land trust, the older you get, it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And we do have terra firma insurance, which is a legal defense fund that would help us in the event of a violation.
Okay. And Tim, I was reading about you, and you kind of alluded to this whenever you were talking about your retirement plan, that farming's hard. And I read an article where you said that you wanted to have, you know, a life and hobbies and farming. You want both. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. well, like I said, I kind of watched my father, who farming was the only thing that he was interested in. He didn't watch TV. He didn't go fishing. He didn't, like to boat or travel, or really farming was his whole life. And when he couldn't do that, it was just sad to watch him just sit there. He didn't watch TV. He just sat in the living room and like waited. And I decided I don't want to be that person. And we've also had, my wife and I have had several friends that have passed away either right at retirement or right after retirement. And so we decided we want to do a lot of the traveling and things while we can, while we're still active and physically fit to be able to do that and not wait till we retire to do some of those things. And we're both very involved in our church as well. And we just feel that you need to be well-rounded, not just solely focused on the farm or your business or career.
But now that you have this partnership with the Philander Chase Conservancy, you can live out that dream, knowing though that your farm will remain a farm, right?
Yes.
Does that help?
Yep. Yeah, it's my goal. Like I said, if we ever do have grandkids, for some time they can come back and maybe they can bring their son or daughter or their grandkids and say, you know, this is where your great grandfather grew up, or this is where, you know, your great-great-grandfather lived.
And it's still a farm,
and
right?
And it's still a farm.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. That was Tim Norris, an Ohio master farmer and owner of Norris Grain Farms, who is granting and in a partnership with the Philander Chase Conservancy for his land. Thank you for joining us today, Tim.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission about its involvement in preserving Ohio's rural feel. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Ohio is often called the heart of it all, with rustic images of farmland being used to promote the state and present a picturesque rural landscape. But can this image really remain a reality with population and business growth expected to come to Central Ohio? We're talking about how Ohio can preserve its rural feel this hour. The Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, commonly known as MORPC, is working to bring Central Ohio's communities together to plan for growth and sustainability. And joining us now is Jessica Kinsley, MORPC's Chief Regional Planning Officer and Senior Director of Planning. Welcome to All Sides, Jessica.
Thanks so much, Amy.
And still with us is Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. Thanks for staying with us, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jessica, Central Ohio is experiencing a lot of growth, a lot of development. We have big projects happening here, of course, like Intel's semiconductor plant. Anduril, the defense products company, is planning a big project. How does MORPC balance development and growth while still remembering Ohio's rural roots?
Thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate that question. That is definitely something that's top of mind for us. And, you know, with this growth that is occurring, we are projected to become a region of about 3.1 million by the year 2050. That growth can be a bit intimidating. But the good news is our region is actually pretty good when it comes to growth. We've been experiencing a fairly steady growth for the past several decades. And with that steady growth, it's allowed us the ability to be more proactive, less reactive when it comes to this growth, really being able to help our communities position themselves to better address this. So we at the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission are trying to figure out how can we empower our communities to create the future that they're envisioning. So we offer programs like our community-based planning assistance program, where you can literally borrow our staff to fulfill some planning needs, or even a consultant services program, where you can utilize MORPC to obtain additional external assistance to better plan to meet the needs for your community specifically.
I can imagine that you have certain organizations or certain maybe townships and municipalities coming to you where they're interested in the development. They want the development. They're like, how do we attract it? And then others come to you and say, we don't want it.
Right.
Is there a balance there?
There definitely is a balance there. And again, that's why stakeholder engagement is so important when it comes to this work. And Amy, I believe you mentioned this previously. But being able to know what the needs of your community is key for success. At MORPC, we pride ourselves on being conveners when it comes to having these collaborative conversations to be able to pull together people, you know, be it rural communities, growing suburbs, or urban neighborhoods, to come together, have everyone at the table to better position our region to grow better as we get bigger.
Yeah, Amy, you mentioned in the first segment that you're lucky because, you know, you have support for what you're doing at the Conservancy in Knox County, in Gambier. They want you to do what you're doing, right?
Right. We're not working against our residents.
Mm-hmm. So Jessica, whenever you're thinking of places like the Philander Chase Conservancy, who's working to preserve the 5-mile radius around Kenyon College and keep it rural, keep it farmland, do you have other conservancies that you work with or that you've talked to that are trying to do something similar?
So as I mentioned, sustainability is a key focus of the work that we do at the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. And right now we're actually working to review and revise our regional sustainability agenda. And having input from groups like the Philander Chase Conservancy is so important as we're working to shape that. So we certainly welcome the feedback input from organizations like Philander Chase. We also have our Central Ohio Greenways Board, which similar organizations are also involved in as we're looking at active transportation planning, getting out there, creating bike paths, connecting people to nature is so important as well. So having that input and perspective is critical when we're working to put together these plans.
And Amy, you mentioned your conservancy has a neighboring one. Was it called
Owl Creek Conservancy?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So there's two up there in Knox County doing this thing. And does each county, do they have organizations like this?
It really varies,
yeah,
county to county. I will say the work that Knox County is doing is really fantastic in this space, but it's also something that people can be inspired by and learn from one another throughout the region. So again, that's something else that at MORPC, we try to illustrate this and also show case studies for, you know, how is this working well elsewhere? How can we emulate this for those who want to do similar work?
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about preserving the rural character of Central Ohio with Jessica Kinsley, MORPC's Chief Regional Planning Officer and Senior Director of Planning. And also still with us is Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Flander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. So, Jessica, are there guidelines for, you know, if there's like an influx of business and development so that natural resources and natural habitats are protected? I'm sure there's lots of guidelines, lots of rules that you help work through.
Yeah. And, you know, Amy mentioned, too, the work that's going on in Knox County for their comprehensive plan update. I think that kind of ties closely to where those guidelines would come in when it comes to what does the, you know, in this case, the county want to see when it comes to that development. Amy also mentioned something about the Clean Ohio program and the Natural Resources Advisory Council. MORPC actually serves as a liaison for two of the districts when it comes to the NRAC Clean Ohio funding to help continue that work. So we oversee the programming for District 3, which covers Franklin County, and then also District 17, which covers some of the surrounding counties, including Knox County.
Tell me more about that program. What does it involve?
So that consists of a board where people are able to submit applications. And maybe Amy should talk about this in more detail.
We actually are very excited. We, within the last 2 to 3 years, we applied for those Clean Ohio funds through the Ohio Public Works Commission for a specific project. And what we were able to do using those grant funds was we acquired a 124-acre property that used to be a family farm. Interestingly, it had been acquired by an LLC that planned to develop that 124-acre former farm. There was a deed restriction on the property that had a housing plat map for where the houses were supposed to go. And for whatever reason, that development never happened. This was a key property for us. It connects the Brown Family Environmental Center, Kenyon's Environmental Center, which I mentioned previously, to the Knox County Park District's Wolf Run Regional Park. This connector property allows us to create over 1,000 contiguous acres of publicly accessible green space in central Knox County. We will have 20 acres of contiguous trails publicly accessible, and we will be having a ribbon cutting on June 28th at 10 a.m. and partially to celebrate our 25th anniversary, the Brown Family Environmental Center's 30th anniversary, and the Park District's 35th. So we're very excited about these projects in Knox County.
That 1,000 acres of contiguous land, I'm not very good with, like, knowing how big an acre is. How many acres is Knox County? Like, how much of is that? Do you know?
Gosh, I don't know.
I'm giving you a pop quiz. Okay. I'm just trying to understand how big of an area it is. It sounds huge.
It's very large. In terms of the public being able to, as we said, we know growth is happening. We want to make sure that we're ensuring publicly accessible green space for our communities. This is a great accomplishment.
Now, Jessica, I'm sure MORPC has been very involved in some of the big developments that Central Ohio has seen, right? You know, I mentioned earlier Intel and that, you know, the surrounding areas around Intel and then Anduril's coming in. Tell me about working with those local communities to balance, you know, handling the big development, all of the need for changes in roads and infrastructure, all of the, you know, all those people who are going to work there need places to live, but still want it, those counties don't want to lose all of their rural feel, right?
Right. And that is a great question, too. And something that I want to kind of take a step back and highlight is with these large economic development investments that are being made, Anduril, LG, Intel, of course, we need to recognize that, you know, these aren't localized. When you take a look at a map, which our data and mapping team is absolutely fantastic, MORPC has some great resources on our website, including a drive time map, where you can actually overlay where these different investments are being made and look at, say, a 20-minute and a 40-minute drive time radius. And when you start overlaying that, you see that these are really transformational regional investments that are being made here in Central Ohio. It's not just localized to one specific community. So the work that we're doing here at MORPC is truly cross-jurisdictional when it comes to the transportation planning, infrastructure planning, as well as you mentioned, clean air, clean water. So really being able to bring everyone to the table to be able to, again, focus on these from a regional lens is incredibly important, because when we come together, we're going to be stronger moving forward into the future.
is part of MORPC's mission to basically, like, you know, have so that each county commissioner set doesn't, like, exist in a vacuum. So they all are thinking about that radius, because I'm sure whenever you do that overlay in that radius, mm-hmm. It crosses county borders, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're proud to say that we have 90 members who choose to be a part of MORPC. And that's local municipalities, that's counties. So to be able to be that convener here in the region is really helping position the region for success as we move forward.
And you, in the past, you worked for the Ohio EPA. How does that influence the way you approach regional planning whenever you're thinking about the environment as well?
So as I mentioned previously, too, a key component of our work is sustainability, mm-hmm. Clean air, clean water. And like I mentioned, that is certainly cross-jurisdictional. We're incredibly proud of the work that we're doing as well when it comes to community air monitoring. We actually received a $2 million grant from US EPA to deploy air monitoring sensors throughout Franklin County to help better empower communities with more education and information when it comes to what's the air in our backyard here.
Air doesn't know where county borders are.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we're able to kind of help connect people with that information. So, you know, they can decide, should my kids be outside playing right now? Maybe there is an air quality alert going on. So being able to get them that information in real time is so important. And that's really something that we're looking forward to being able to hopefully expand in the future to cover other areas of the region as well.
Tell me about MORPC's role in the infrastructure. There's a lot of talk about how these big developments are taking up a lot. They need a lot of electricity, mm-hmm. and to build these things, they need more water. And there's just a lot of concern with utilities. Is MORPC playing a role in helping with that?
Yes. So definitely when it comes to the engagement and educational component, particularly on the energy front, it's mm-hmm. funny that you mentioned that. We're actually kicking off a 4-part series when it comes to energy planning. Beginning in May. So on May 15th at MORPC, we'll be hosting an event where we're looking at a report that was recently issued from the Ohio Business Roundtable, looking at energy planning here in Central Ohio in light of some of those more recent developments. So we'll be having a representative from OBRT, someone from One Columbus, someone from MORPC as well.
What's OBRT? Hold on.
The Ohio Business Roundtable, sorry.
Okay.
The folks who issued the report.
Yeah.
To be able to discuss that in more detail and really kind of cue up the conversation to look at how can we be more resilient when it comes to our energy planning moving into the future in light of all of this development that's going on.
Yeah. And Amy, with the Flander Chase Conservancy, we talked in the first segment a little bit about it's not being anti-development. It's not being anti-growth. It's just more of you can have both. You can preserve and still grow.
We are pro-smart development. Mm-hmm. So what Tim talked about earlier in terms of the farmland that was developed and that was immediately adjacent to Mount Vernon as it existed then, and maximizing what is placed on that former farmland versus a few housing lots out in the middle of mm-hmm. what used to be rural countryside. Two very different approaches to development.
Yeah, I'm sure you like that phrase, smart development. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amy, to harken back to what you began the segment with, you frequently hear Ohio is the heart of it all. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to that phrase, that vision can mean different things to different people. So, again, being able to pull everyone together to empower them with the tools necessary to either retain or create that vision is something that we at MORPC are really proud to step into that role here in Central Ohio.
People who have lived here for a long time are probably feel like it has changed a lot, especially in recent years. There's been a lot more development in the past probably 10 years than in the 10 years prior to that. Does MORPC hear from people who are just anti-change?
And that's kind of in part how we work with our local communities as well to find that balance that is so key. And again, too, with the work that we're doing with conservancies, with sustainability, too, creating that balance in a place to be able to address that is key.
We have about 1 minute left. Is there anything else that MORPC is working on that you'd like to tell our listeners about, whether it's about Ohio's rural feel or like just what's next for your organization?
There's a lot going on. Yeah. I always tell folks, please check us out on social media. Follow us there. There are so many great events. As I mentioned, stakeholder engagement, public participation is key to what we do. We want to hear from you as we are developing these plans, like our regional sustainability agenda. Come to our events, too, like that energy forum that I talked about on May 15th. And always feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from people.
That was Jessica Kinsley, MORPC's Chief Regional Planning Officer and Senior Director of Planning. Jessica, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
And we had for the hour Amy Hendrickson, Executive Director of the Philander Chase Conservancy at Kenyon College. Amy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks, listeners.